The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. I just missed my cue. Oh my gosh. I just love people sometimes.
In this rain, right?
And the rain, yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. Okay. Get me in a good mood, you guys. I'm a little perturbed right now. I'm just being honest.
What's Bruce Lee's favorite drink?
Okay. Bruce Lee's favorite drink. Water.
Water!
Good one, Anthony.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so welcome to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Anthony Cernelia. I've got Aviana Barrientos in studio with me, Marie Early, and Diamond is in studio with us today instead of being on the controls. And so how's everybody doing on this rainy day? Thank you so much for cheering me up. Good. Anthony Cernelia. I was thinking about you last night when I was cooking. Actually, because I wanted to make eggplant parmesan just so I can kick your you know what with it. And but I did poblano.
Those looked so good.
Well, that they're Vinny's favorite thing. Right. So I take poblano peppers and I grill them, and then I put them on a kumal and I roast them. They were roasted for over an hour.
Yeah.
And then I slice them all up with an onion and saute it in an iron skillet, and then heavy cream, salt and pepper. Now you say, okay. Heavy cream is not vegan. No, it's not. And so that's where I'm not 100% vegan, but I haven't had anything with heavy cream in it in probably, I'm going to say, I don't know, months, maybe since the holidays, you know, because you use a lot of heavy cream for mashed potatoes and things like that around the holidays.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah. You don't have to, but I typically serve it on potatoes, but I didn't. I just, those Siete, that brand
yes.
Siete has all those new yes. tortillas out. That are, first of all, then they have the nacho sauce. It's vegan. It's all made with cashews. So it's paleo and keto friendly. And so it was awesome. And you take them and you like heat them up, like grill them yourself, almost like a fresh tortilla. But they're made with cashews. And
so they're gluten-free?
Yeah, they're gluten-free. Yeah. Then there was almond flour and cashew flour and cassavana, I think is how you pronounce it.
Bern, you're a great cook.
There's well, I don't know about that.
I don't like that you make that I like.
So I agree. I would say the same.
Her quiche, your potato salad, you make it like hot. It's amazing.
Yeah. And I make a sweet potato salad with some other secret ingredients that I can't say.
So I was talking to my sister-in-law yesterday and I told her that I'm kind of vegan. And she said, oh, I just can't not eat dairy. And I said, oh, well, if it's from a good farm, then I'll have some dairy. And she goes, well, then you're not vegan. And I said, well, okay, I'm a mini vegan, or you know, like
a mini vegan.
You're
like
trying.
I was thinking like a
hey,
you know
what? It's all about the process. People
right.
need to get off of the being so I don't know so anal about it. It's really ridiculous.
We need to come up with a term though for what we do because well, I'm following your lead.
Well, I'm kind of like ketotarian is what I am really, which not that I'm really necessarily keto, although I have been using KetoMed, one of our new sponsors. I've been using their powder, their keto powder. It's a drink, a meal replacement. If you're on the ketogenic diet, and it's a very good product, and obviously I don't know all the facts about it yet, or I've forgotten. It's a different standard of MCTs and all that stuff that Sean talks about, and the something eight, I can't remember right now, but I use that in my coffee. It's got a little bit of whey protein in it, but other than that, I mean I don't eat meat. I eat very little fish.
And
mostly not. I haven't even had fish in like 6 months.
Yeah.
And if I didn't have Nature's Plate, it would be hard for me because I don't cook like
you do. You don't cook,
And I'm trying,
when you don't have children,
like,
why would you
Nature's Plate,
cook?
It's already ready and it's good and you can get different things rather than I would be eating like rice and beans every night or something.
Yeah. Well, I say if you don't have children, why would you cook? But I probably would. Although I've had children for so long, I don't even remember what I ate before I had children.
Yeah, I cook, but it's still easier during the week sometimes to just go and have like pre-prepared food to eat. And that's so flavorful. People think that when you're vegan, that like you, like
it's very
not,
bland.
Yeah, it's very bland and dry and everything. But Nature's Plate, it's like very seasoned. Some of the stuff is like spicy. Delicious.
Well, so you've got this deck of cards that we bought a couple of weeks ago. What's the name of the deck? Here it is.
Holstie.
It's called Holstie Reflection Cards. Okay, a deck of conversations for meaningful conversations and reflection. Okay.
I got some good ones.
Okay, you got some good ones?
Okay.
And Anthony, I want you to,
let's
of course,
around.
Be in on this too.
If you could have front row seats to any concert, which would you choose?
Well, I don't know. You guys go first. I've had a lot of front row seats. That's why I worked so hard.
Anthony?
I would actually say probably Joe Walsh.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Marie?
This goes back to like seventh grade, but it would be Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin, okay.
Wow. I was in love with Robert Plant.
Were you?
Diamond. I'm going to go with Lenny Kravitz.
Lenny
Kravitz.
Ooh,
he's coming
that's
in town.
Is he?
Yeah, he's, I think, in like a month. I actually put together his, he did a session for us in Miami, and I actually put together his equipment, and it was one of my first studio recordings.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
He's
amazing. Well, of course, mine would be Jackson Browne, but I've already been up front in many times to see him.
So you could do it again.
I could do it again, though. Anyway.
We're talking about together or not, or living or dead, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Yeah. Next one. If you could spend a day as any animal, which would you choose?
Ruff. Oh, I don't know.
I'd be
spend
a
day with any animal?
As an animal.
As an animal.
So my dog.
I'd be a puppy.
Oh, that's cool because you can read his mind and see how he feels.
No,
dolphin.
Because she's so spoiled.
A dolphin.
Yeah. I'd be a dolphin.
Yeah.
Nice.
Probably a giraffe. It's my favorite animal.
Is it?
They're so friendly and gentle and kind and sweet.
I saw a giraffe unicorn yesterday. A giraffe-acorn.
Giraffe unicorn?
In Nordstrom. It looked like a giraffe, but it was one of those jelly cat stuffed animals in the kids department on the third floor. And it looked like a giraffe, but it was a unicorn. Isn't that cute?
Cool.
It was white
That's
and pink,
awesome.
But looked like with a long body.
A
anyway, I should have snapped a picture of it. Okay, next.
If you could be a world-class talent on any instrument, which would it be?
Piano.
Piano, yeah.
Yeah, I love
like
the
that.
Piano.
I think I'm going to go with Byrne.
Yeah.
Piano, classical one.
Maracas. The triangle.
Leave it to Marie to come up with some weirdo answer.
I'd say guitar.
The guitar?
Yeah.
Have you ever played the guitar?
Yeah, and I'm just not very proficient at it.
I used to play the air guitar. I used to turn the record player up really, really loud and act like I could play the guitar because my sister could play the guitar. My oldest sister, Therese, had an electric guitar, and my sister Annie was in a band. I was the band manager called The Dates.
Ooh.
But she was so competitive with me that how she learned to play the guitar was because she thought I could, and then she actually learned it. Because I used to pretend like I did, and I had the music up so loud, and I was such a good air guitarist, she couldn't tell that I couldn't really play.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
but
last one.
Okay, last one.
What message would you put on a billboard for thousands of people to see every day?
Oh, wow.
I have a good one.
What would you say?
Be good or good at it.
Okay.
Or don't get caught at it.
Okay.
Hmm.
I'd probably just say pay it forward.
Oh, that's a good one.
Marie?
I'm available.
Nice.
Call me at.
Yes.
And of course, I would put something really controversial, like read more and don't trust the government. Or
I feel like yours would be ahimsa.
Ahimsa was a good one.
Yeah.
When I'm not worried about the government, you know, trying to take the world down. That, you know, oh my gosh, I have this funny bumper sticker. I'll read it right now. I don't know where I got these. I think I got them in Austin. Where is it, you guys? Okay, it's the same one. So I've got one that says, "What would Scooby do?" And then, "We must be the change we wish to see in the world." And then I have one that says, "Prohibition still doesn't work," and "Do small things with great love." And this is one of my favorite: "The three branches of government: financial, petrochemical, and pharmaceuticals."
I like that one.
Maybe I would put that on my billboard. But we've got a fantastic show coming up today, everyone. Dr. Jolene Brighton is with us. She is an author. She's a rock star. She's a functional naturopathic medical doctor and nutritional biochemist with a focus on women's endocrine health. We're going to be talking about birth control side effects and post-birth control syndrome. Men need to listen up, too, because if you've got a girlfriend or a wife, she's probably on the pill, or she probably is, or maybe she's not, or she's been, but you want to listen up. This woman is brilliant, Dr. Jolene Brighton. Her book, Beyond the Pill, we're going to be talking about it, and Dr. Marvin Singh, another medical doctor who's going to be talking about gut health for longevity and optimal wellness. Stay tuned, everyone. You are listening to One Life Radio.
Lay my body down, and when the morning light comes streaming in, I'll get up and do it again. Amen.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMed, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Anthony Cernelia. I've got Diamond Gray in studio with me, Marie Early, Aviana Barrientos, and Dr. Jolene Brighton on the line. She is a functional naturopathic medical doctor and nutritional biochemist with a focus in women's endocrine health. She is recognized as a leading expert in post-birth control syndrome and the long-term side effects associated with hormonal contraceptives. Dr. Brighton is the author of Beyond the Pill, a 30-day plan to support women on birth control, help them transition off, and eliminate symptoms of post-birth control syndrome. She is a speaker, a woman's health advocate, and a medical advisor for one of the first data-driven apps to offer women personalized birth control recommendations. You can find her at her website. That's drbrighton.com, drbrighten.com. Such an honor to have you back. How are you doing today, Dr. Brighton?
Hey there. Thanks so much for having me back. I am doing awesome. How about yourself?
I'm doing really well. All the girls are doing well. And, you know, all of us here are either on the pill or been on the pill, off the pill. And I have to tell you, I really think that as I look back, when I first got on birth control pills I was 17. But by the time I was 19, I think that it really did contribute to my panic disorder that developed in my around the age of 19 or 20. What do you say to that?
Oh, you know, there are so many ways that hormonal birth control impacts our brain, like the actual brain, the organ itself, that haven't even been explored or really understood. In fact, there was a new article that came out in Scientific America in which a statement, which was totally true, was made that this is the biggest experiment in women's health that's completely uncontrolled. And we really don't know the long-term impact on our neurological health. But in addition to that, you know, a lot of women complain of mood symptoms on birth control or when they transition off. And we can understand that hormonal birth control is inflammatory, it depletes nutrients, and it blocks you from ovulating. And that matters because that's why we don't get pregnant. Yay. However, if we don't ovulate, we don't have progesterone, we don't stimulate GABA in our brain, which is the neurotransmitter that puts it's basically the stop brake on freaking out in your mind. When those neurotransmitters say it's time to panic, GABA comes in and says, no, it's going to be okay. But without our natural progesterone, we don't get the same stimulation.
Yeah. I feel that it's very damaging in so many ways, and that's what we're here to talk about today. So how many women are currently on the pill, and are these women primarily using it to prevent pregnancy?
You know, that is the most startling thing that I came across in my research. So it's estimated about 100 million women worldwide are currently using birth control. 98% of women have used some form of hormonal birth control at some point in their life. And we see that the majority are now using it for symptom management. So when it was first introduced, it was for spacing pregnancies, delaying pregnancy, and now it's become the pill for every female ill, is what I call it. So women are using it for acne, painful periods, heavy periods, irregular periods, headaches, migraines. I mean, anything that is viewed as a hormonal problem or a lady part problem, birth control is passed to women for that. So the primary reason is for symptom management.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are some of the issues that, of the pill that that can cause women a lot of problems that they aren't told about?
Oh, well, you know, I think a lot of us, we've heard about stroke, heart attack risk, cancer risk, and we tend to think about those big ones. However, we've also come to understand that hormonal birth control depletes nutrients like zinc, magnesium, selenium, B vitamins, things you need to be able to detox through your liver, have awesome skin, have healthy moods. And in addition, it is associated with an increased risk of autoimmune disease.
Oh,
now,
wow.
Autoimmune, yeah.
I didn't know that. I did not know that.
What's interesting is that there's a study that came out of Harvard showing that if you have a family history of Crohn's disease, which is in the family of inflammatory bowel disease, if you spend 5 years or more on hormonal birth control, you have a 300% increased risk of developing Crohn's disease yourself. And
wow.
Women who are on birth control and have Crohn's disease, they typically have additional surgeries every year that they're on it.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's a big one because, you know, autoimmune disorder can do some crazy stuff to your body. I mean, I woke up blind in my right eye one day with uveitis and they contributed it to autoimmune disorder. I mean, it was very scary. And I have a blind area in my eye if I close my other eye that I will never get back that sight again. And, you know, so autoimmune disorder is something very huge.
Definitely. And when we look at who's impacted by autoimmune disease, it's disproportionately women. Women are at the highest risk for autoimmunity, and we understand that any hormonal shift can be a triggering event. So it can be you start or stop birth control, you have a baby, or you get pregnant. It also can be menopause, perimenopause, or starting your period for the first time can be a triggering event. And what is interesting about hormonal birth control is it lends to the condition called intestinal hyperpermeability or leaky gut, which is, you know, as defined by Dr. Fasano, one of the three ingredients to develop autoimmune disease. So if you're on hormonal birth control and you have a family history of autoimmunity or you have the genes, then understand that birth control can be one more drop in the bucket that lends you to developing that autoimmune condition.
Mm-hmm. Well, how does hormonal birth control affect a woman's thyroid?
Oh, that's a huge topic, which is why there's an entire chapter in Beyond the Pill about thyroid health, because hormonal birth control, while you're on it, increases binding proteins for hormones. So this is your body's way of keeping you safe, except it increases thyroid binding globulin, which means that your free hormones drop. These are the only ones that you can use at the cellular level. So there's that impact. There's the, you know, just one nutrient depletion, selenium, for example, will, you know, affect how you make and synthesize your thyroid hormone and be able to use it by your cells. And in addition to that, hormonal birth control is inflammatory. So they've done studies where they take a woman's blood, they find that her C-reactive protein, a marker of inflammation, is elevated, and when when she starts hormonal birth control. So they'll have the baseline, then test her after she starts it, and inflammation is up. Now, this is a problem because when we're inflamed, our cells become rigid, and we can't actually use our hormones as effectively. That's cortisol, thyroid, mm-hmm. insulin, not just sex hormones.
Well, you know, so is there any impact on the gut when a woman is taking hormonal birth control? Because that's kind of what we wanted to focus today. What does it do to our gut? Because we know now that our gut bacteria is one of the most critical pieces of wellness.
Right? I mean, so well said. I remember when I was first learning about the microbiome almost 20 years ago, and we were told that they were a bunch of freeloaders who ate your food and maybe made a little bit of B12 or vitamin K. And now we're like, oh my God, they're everything in health. And while you're on hormonal birth control, some studies have said it impacts your microbiome. So for everybody listening, these are good gut bugs who do everything for you, it seems. It impacts your microbiome similar to how antibiotics do. Now, let that sink in. Antibiotics decrease microbial diversity, and actually, they're like a little bomb that just like decimates the population of these organisms, which sometimes they're necessary, and it's great that we have them available when we need them. However, if you make that comparison to hormonal birth control, we have to stand back and ask, well, how many women spend decades upon decades on antibiotics?
Oh, for
Not
sure.
Not many.
Yep.
And yet you're on hormonal birth control, and you're on it. I mean, I've seen women who've been on it for 30 years or more than that, and no one's really asked the question, what happens when we have that long-term use? And it's, you know, a lot of the research focuses in on what happens to your fertility and what happens, you know, to your sex hormones. And we really need to be asking, like, what happens to the entire body? So decreased microbial diversity, increased incidences of leaky gut, which is intestinal hyperpermeability, which then can lead to autoimmune disease, food sensitivities, and there's yeast overgrowth. How many women listening right now have used hormonal birth control and had a yeast infection? Yeast overgrows in your mouth, in your gut, and in your vagina while you're on hormonal birth control. And certain women are much more susceptible to this.
Well, I'll tell you what, I appreciate the fact that you were brave enough to write this book. I know that you haven't gotten a lot of media to cover this because of the power of the pharmaceutical companies don't want this information to get out. They really don't, you know. And I read something, this is kind of, it's related, but it's kind of a funny thing. I read somewhere that birth control even interferes with the mating process, and it does something to your pheromones, and so that you might be attracted to the wrong person if you're on birth control. Have you ever heard that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's in my book. So everyone listening, go find this section on birth control and your bad boyfriend. Because what it does is when you are off of hormonal birth control, so the natural mate selection is to select for somebody as genetically different as you as possible. That way you create the most viable offspring.
That would explain my first marriage.
Oh, me too.
Oh, man.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm such a jokester. No. But, okay,
yeah,
so.
But there might be something to that, right?
Oh, no.
But, you know.
There is.
Here's the thing. While you're on hormonal birth control, you select for men that are more genetically similar to you. It's like you're more attracted to your cousin, you know, when we talk about genetics, which is where everybody's like, ew. And I'm like, yeah, when I was on it for a decade, I look back and I'm like, oh my God, that explains those bad decisions. Because the other thing is that we as women experience alterations in our brain chemistry, and the structure of our brain shifts. So we actually put ourselves in riskier situations. We don't have the cortisol response and the same fear response while we're on hormonal birth control. So it's like we're attracted to dudes who are more like our cousins, genetically speaking, and then there's nothing pumping the brakes in our brain being like, I don't know about this bad boyfriend. Like, maybe we shouldn't engage in this relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, but men put so much pressure. They don't like wearing condoms, you know, and I wish we were off the air doing a podcast after the broadcast right now, because I would say some other things that aren't proper for...
FTC appropriate.
Like, yeah.
I would imagine men also don't like HIV or HPV or gonorrhea or chlamydia. I mean, the pill isn't going to protect against that. You still need a barrier method.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So much to talk about. I know you're staying with us. We're going to go to break. Dr. Jolene Brighton is who we're speaking with. She is the author of the book, Beyond the Pill, a 30-day program to balance your hormones, reclaim your body, and reverse the dangerous side effects of the birth control pill. Everyone, stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMed, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorn Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Petty. Oh my gosh. I was thinking on the way here how much I miss him. Just knowing that he's on the earth because his music is still with us, but you know, and I believe that, you know, that spirit and all those good deeds and the beautiful music lives on and on, but I just think it's so sad that he died so young, right after that tour they were on. And so, God bless Tom Petty. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Anthony Cernelia. I've got Diamond Gray in studio with me today. Marie Early, Aviana Berrientos, and Dr. Jolene Brighton is on the line. She is a functional naturopathic medical doctor and nutritional biochemist with a focus in women's endocrine health. She is the author of the book Beyond the Pill, a 30-day program to balance your hormones, but reclaim your body and reverse the dangerous side effects of birth control pills. And so we have been talking about birth control side effects and post-birth control syndrome. So I have never heard of that, and I'm so curious. So what is post-birth control syndrome?
Yeah, well, yeah. Let me just say this. When I explain this, there's going to be all these women who are like, oh, yeah.
Okay.
So why I say that is because we've all experienced it, but we didn't have a word for it. We didn't have language around it. So post-birth control syndrome is the collection of signs and symptoms that come up when you discontinue birth control. Now, it might come up for you, you know, a few weeks following birth control. It might be several months. It could be several years. And
really?
It presents in a whole host of ways because hormonal birth control impacts every single system in your body. So you might lose your period altogether, or it might be coming every 2 weeks. Or perhaps you have new onset of neurological issues, like you have migraines for the first time in your life, or your digestive issues are starting up after you stop hormonal birth control.
Mm. Well, you know, I was on the birth control pill for 20 years and I got pregnant the second try, right? You know, I mean, I was pregnant within literally 60 days after I got off. But I want to hear more. So because I want to know if I ever experienced any of these things that we're talking about with post birth control syndrome. I'm sure that I did. So why do you feel like this isn't being discussed more in mainstream Western medicine?
Well, I think a big part really lies with the fact that questioning birth control in any way is somewhat seen as being anti-women. And yet, what I would argue is anti-women is not questioning all these things and not providing a true informed consent for women. But there's this story, and let's recognize it's just a story. And this story goes that hormonal birth control, you know, it has minimal side effects. If you're having any side effects or symptoms, it's probably you. You're broken. And when you come off of it, because it can show up like 6 months later, doctors won't always make the connection. They'll think, okay, you came off of hormonal birth control, therefore you should have had symptoms immediately, except that a lot of women are doing placebo bleeds while they're on birth control. And we also have to recognize by the time women seek help, they've been putting up with symptoms for a long time. For some women, they might not seek help until years later. And then their doctor's like, nope, way too far removed. Their doctor's not even asking that question. And their doctor is also not trained to understand the far-reaching impacts of hormonal birth control. A lot of the conventional narrative is that your reproductive system, by the way, is totally negotiable through their lenses. That mm-hmm. like, oh, women don't really need to have periods and their reproductive system can just be put on hiatus, no big deal. Is there more of male thinking like than anything else than mm-hmm. to be like, well, our bodies don't have periods, therefore you don't really need them. But, you know, with that, it's something that doctors don't really understand and they're not taught that, you know, our natural female hormones impact every system of our body and these synthetic ones do the same, yet without the similar benefits. So mm-hmm. just by one example, progesterone is very nourishing to the brain. It helps with neuroplasticity, so your ability to learn new things, for your brain to grow and change in a very healthy way.
Wow.
And where progestin, which is the synthetic stuff in birth control, doesn't have that same benefit. And in addition, it may actually increase free radicals in your brain. So we think about free radicals cause our skin to age, cause us to have wrinkles. Imagine that taking place in your brain while birth control simultaneously depletes the antioxidants like vitamin C that you need to combat those.
Mm-hmm. Well, gosh, I have so many questions. I don't even know where to begin, but let me start with this. So post birth control syndrome, what are some of the symptoms? What are some of the symptoms that you're talking about that go undetected mm-hmm. for years sometimes?
Well, one can be post pill amenorrhea. So let me explain that sometimes post-birth control syndrome is the return of symptoms that you had before. Sometimes it's an issue that birth control masked an underlying issue and now it's presenting itself. And sometimes it's a brand new symptom. And so why I say this is because I've met with women who have clockwork periods. They later go on birth control and then they lose their period altogether when they come off, what is known as post-pill amenorrhea, which has been documented in the research since the 1970s.
Wow.
So you lose your period altogether. For other women, they start having incredibly heavy, painful periods. It may be an issue that they're not ovulating as regularly, or their progesterone levels are not getting up, and mm-hmm. so they're getting overstimulation by estrogen. We can see other women start to have digestive issues. So if you come off of birth control and your ovaries are trying to produce estrogen and progesterone, but they're kind of failing with that progesterone, that excess estrogen can start to affect your gallbladder now. So I've seen lots of women who come off of hormonal birth control and end up with gallbladder disease because
really?
Of the impact of birth control, depleting vitamin C, how it impacted your brain-ovarian connection. And now you come off, you have a host of digestive issues and the gallbladder is struggling. And so it can show up in a lot of ways, which is why it's really essential that you meet with a naturopathic physician or a functional medicine physician, because our philosophy is different. We're going to do a timeline. We're going to take your entire history and really examine what is true for you and what's the root cause.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that you should ditch your gynecologist or your primary care provider. No, they're a very important part of your healthcare team as well. But to get the additional support you need, it's going to take a different kind of physician.
Wow. You've given us so much great information. I know people are really enjoying getting this to share with other people. So how do you recommend women come off of birth control? Do you slowly phase off the medicine? I don't know how you could do that based on, you know, you take it every single day and then you're off for 7. Is it best to just end at the, like, at the end of the 21 days?
Yeah, so great, great question. Number one thing is, if you're going to come off of birth control, get a backup method. Because even if you do want a baby, you got some work to do before you get pregnant.
Okay.
And so that is definitely step one. This is, so hormonal birth control, I've seen women say, well, you know, I'm going to take half my pill or a quarter of my pill. Don't do that. This is an all or nothing medication.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a beta blocker or an antidepressant where we phase you off. It's all or nothing. And what happens is that when women start cutting the dose and starting to play with it, they don't have pregnancy prevention, so they can get pregnant. And the other thing is that it's not enough of a dose to shut down brain-ovarian communication. So that's how the pill works. It's a high enough dose to get filtered through the liver and still tell your brain, don't talk to your ovaries at all and don't get an egg ready. However, if you start cutting your pill in half, your brain and your ovaries are going to be like, what is going on right now? That's where we start to see like hot flashes, night sweats come up. Like women start having really funky symptoms and it gets a whole lot worse. So instead, you know, check out how I direct you and be on the pill. If you started it for symptom management, prep your body for a good 3 to 6 months before you come off. That way you don't have to have the hormonal hell that follows. And if you started it primarily for pregnancy prevention, jump right into the 30-day protocol, and then you can stop when you get to the end of your pill pack.
Mm.
Now, you can always choose to stop birth control whenever you'd like. However, no one can advise you on discontinuing that medication except for a licensed healthcare practitioner. So that means that if you're taking it, so let's say you have a bleeding disorder, talk to your doctor first before you stop birth control. If you're using it for symptom management, it's worth having that conversation with your doctor. Grab Beyond the Pill. I will teach you and guide you in how to do that.
Well, I loved having you on the show. I really did. I hope you'll come back again. There's a lot to talk about. There really is.
So much.
So much to talk about. I mean, we could talk. We're going to have to talk off the air because there's so many things I'd like to, continue to. It's not just birth control. You touched on antibiotics, a lot of things. I know you've probably feel the same way about depression drugs for depression and how they really are not the answer either. And women are just sold a bill of goods when it comes to that, too. You see it in all the magazines. I see it daily. When I get my magazines in the mail, there's always a ton of pharmaceutical ads. They're targeting women. So,
And I think we can all be grateful that pharmaceuticals exist. There's a time and a place to use them, and it's great to have those tools. But when it's the only answer women are getting is that symptoms in your head, you need to suppress your mood, suppress your hormones, suppress everything about you, because who you are innately is wrong, that needs to end. That's the old story. And women are standing up and demanding better, as they should. And so women who are listening, please don't feel ashamed if you're taking any kind of pharmaceutical. Like, they're there for when we need them. But we also need to be asking why you have those symptoms and acknowledging your individuality and mm-hmm. your story about what is true for you and what is and isn't normal for you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure. Dr. Jolene Brighton, her book is Beyond the Pill. We're going to go to break. Thanks again, Dr. Brighton.
Thank you so much.
All right, everyone. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. Let him know that you know best, 'cause after all... One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMed, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Anthony Cernelia. I've got Aviana in studio with me, Marie and Diamond, and I have a very special guest on the line, Dr. Marvin Singh. He is a medical doctor and practices as an integrative gastroenterologist in San Diego, California. He is a diplomat of the American Board of Integrative Medicine and a board-certified internist. Dr. Singh was trained by Dr. Andrew Weil and a pioneer in the field of integrative medicine, someone I respect very highly. And at the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine, Dr. Singh is a member of the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine, American College of Lifestyle Medicine, and the True Health Initiative. He is a graduate of Virginia Commonwealth University School of Medicine and completed his residency training in internal medicine at the University of Michigan Health System. Dr. Singh's website is Dr. Marvin Singh, that's spelled S-I-N-G-H, drmarvinsingh.com, and all social media is at Dr. Marvin Singh as well. Such a pleasure to have you here today with us on One Life Radio. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we're talking about gut health for longevity and optimal wellness, so let's talk about this. How powerful is the health of our gut to the rest of our body?
Oh, the power of the gut is so important. You know, the digestive tract is one of the most significant parts of our body. A lot of people don't know that majority of our cells are actually not even human cells. They're bacterial cells. There are about 100 trillion microorganisms that live inside the digestive tract. And this is what we call the gut microbiome. And there's so much power to the microbiome because they control our immunology, our metabolism, nutrition, interact with our genetics, and our detoxification power. So the microbiome is very important to our whole health, and if we take care of our gut and our gut microbiome, then the rest of our body will benefit from that.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think it took us so long to get this out into mainstream? And still, even though I mean, we've been talking about this since, I don't know, about 6 or 7 years since I read the book Missing Microbes by Dr.
Yeah.
Blazer. What is his, Dr.?
Martin Blazer.
That's right. It is a great book, and it like woke me up. I was like, oh my gosh. But why do you think it's still so many people don't really understand this? What do you think is holding them back from this science?
You want to know what's funny is that Hippocrates said very, very long time ago, hundreds of years ago, that all disease begins in the gut. So it's not really a new concept at all. It's actually been around for hundreds of years. I think, you know, the medical community is really coming around to it now. It's just very slow going because we just recently developed the, you know, science to be able to sequence the human genome, and now we're focusing our attention on the microbiome. So mm-hmm. I think a lot of the science and technology around how to actually identify these microorganisms and their DNA and what they do is just starting to come around in more recent years, and that's probably why. Now that we have that technology, we're discovering all these really cool things about the microbiome.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the signs of an unhealthy gut?
You know, a lot of people think that a sign of an unhealthy gut could just be, you know, having stomach ache, but it's really a lot more to that. You know, even if you're having joint aches or you're having rashes like eczema, psoriasis, problems with your hair, problems with your memory, even depression or anxiety. So to me, as an integrative gastroenterologist, all of those are signs of an unhealthy gut because we have a lot of information and science showing that the gut is connected to our entire body. So
yeah,
really almost any manifestation could be gut-related potentially.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the long-term outcomes of an unhealthy gut?
This can be a wide variety of chronic conditions, from diabetes to heart disease, to autoimmune conditions like lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, even cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and Parkinson's disease. There's so many different things that are associated with imbalances in the gut microbiome. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it really is. And one of the most fascinating things for me personally is the gut-brain connection. And so what are some of the effects of your gut health on your brain?
Well, we know that the brain can actually cause alterations in the gut microbiome, in the composition, and vice versa. The microbiome can actually cause an impact on how the brain works. So it's kind of a bi-directional superhighway, and the brain and the gut are directly connected to each other. And so if you just imagine like this huge superhighway where information is just zipping up and down constantly throughout the day, on a nanosecond to nanosecond basis, that's really what's happening between the gut and the brain. You know, the gut has 100 million neurons. That's more than that occurs in the spinal cord itself. It's such a powerful organism. And so we know that, you know, when we eat certain things or have exposures to certain toxins, for example, that could change the composition of the gut microbiome. But what we don't realize is that could perhaps be part of the reason why we're anxious or depressed.
Oh, yeah.
Those changes can actually affect your mood.
Oh, absolutely. There's another book I read. This was years ago, too, about gut microbiome. And I remember reading it and going, wow, because it said it even can affect schizophrenia, which I have a brother that's schizophrenic.
Yeah.
That's a powerful, that is a very powerful statement to make, because schizophrenia, as I said, is a very difficult diagnosis to receive in a family.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, I'm a voluntary adjunct faculty at UCSD, and we were actually discussing schizophrenia itself and the microbiome, and I know there's a lot of interest in doing research in this area as well. So, you know, we may see in the future some very interesting studies coming out about schizophrenia and a lot of other mental health conditions as they pertain to changes in the microbiome.
Hmm. Well, you know, that's so interesting. You know, all the people that are out there listening right now, your average American, what are they doing? What are the violations or assaults that they're giving their guts, like the biggest violators that are disruptors of the gut?
Probably one of the most common violator would be diet. There's a lot of sugar and processed packaged foods that we are exposed to on a regular basis, mainly out of convenience because we're all busy on the go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a lot easier to just grab a bar and eat it in the car on your way to work than actually, you know, make a nice breakfast that's healthy for you. But in the long run, that bar is going to cause you problems.
Yeah.
And so we know diet nutrition, and we all talk about diet nutrition. So sometimes when I talk about microbiome and gut health, I talk about diet nutrition last because we already know about it. The things that I like to talk about first are sleep hygiene, you know, cosmetics, beauty products, because those are potential toxin exposures. Stress is a big thing. You know, if we aren't able to manage our stress effectively, that can also cause problems in the microbiome.
Wow.
And even your social interconnectedness, how much fun you're having in life. So I always make sure I talk to people about that. It's kind of a funny thing to talk to
Patients
in your office having stomach pain, but, you know, it's actually one of the most important things that we don't talk about. I mean, your social interconnections actually can impact the composition of your microbiome.
Wow. No, I'd never heard that. I think that's so incredibly interesting. Great stuff we're talking about here today. And I know we're going to run out of time here. And I know that you wanted to talk about the telomere and what it is and how does it affect aging.
Yeah, so telomeres are like the, if you imagine your shoelace, and you see the little plastic cap at the end of your shoelace, that's what a telomere is to your DNA. So they're the plastic protective caps at the end of our chromosomes that help keep the DNA intact. And so it can be a marker of aging potentially. And what I found fascinating is that some of the exact same things we need to do to keep our telomeres intact and to even make them bigger are the exact same things we just talked about that pertain to gut health and keeping the microbiome better. So
oh, nice.
What I usually tell people is that gut health is the same thing as brain health, is the same thing as DNA health, is the same thing as whole health for your longevity. It all kind of ties together.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's funny. You know, people always say I look so much younger than I really am. And I do. Someone actually said to me the other day, I think you're aging in reverse. And she said, what are you doing? But, you know, I take a lot of probiotics. So maybe that's why.
Maybe it's a combination of things. You also see people that look like, they're, you know, 20 years older than they should be, too.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's because they're most likely, you know, a lot of times people that smoke a lot or drink alcohol or under a lot of stress, you know, that can really age you.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Well, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show, and thank you so much for jumping on with us. I really appreciate it. Dr. Marvin Singh, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it was our pleasure. It really was. Everyone, you know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it. One Life Radio is brought to you by our great sponsors, Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, bottled mineral water. KetoMed, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, the Well-Being Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. And be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.